I've tried to outline the main points. That may help, may not help. We'll see. As I say, we may not get to it till next week or towards the end of this week. But the black points are the major points, and the red points are secondary points. And the black points, basically, he talks about, and the red points he doesn't talk about, but I thought they're worth mentioning. So, see if this helps. If it doesn't, well, I won't bother, but if it does. You know, with a text like that, as with all these things, the thing that's so hard about them is they're so intuitive, and they're so convoluted, and the memory is a function of the linear mind. So you read this stuff and it doesn't stick because it's not linear, and the memory doesn't work with non-linearity. So what Edinger has done and what I have sort of taken from him is go through these texts and make a list. Try to linearize them. In a way, it's a little bit synthetic. But otherwise, I don't think you can remember what's there because it's just so circular. So that's what I try to do. And I just divided it into two categories: the text, which is the the text of the panel lesson, and the interpretation. I suggested you read through the whole thing, and maybe you did, maybe you didn't. It's too much to grasp that way anyway. What you might try to do is read the text and then read the interpretation. Read the text and read the interpretation, and we'll go a lot slower than I think we. And I first thought we would be able to because there is so much there. The other only little trick, sometimes I indented the interpretation page, which just means it's a subcategory of the main interpretation. I'm just trying to make it linear. Maybe that'll help, maybe not. But that's what that's about. Anything else? Oh, I have a copy. I meant to bring it, but I forgot. I'll bring it next time. I have a copy of the panel lesson, so you can see what it looks like. Dave, the fellow who sent me all that material, found it in the archives and photocopied it. So just nice to see what it looks like. And what his handwriting looks like. And so on. It's handwritten. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let's do some review. We left off at page 117. And what we did last time was basically just look at Pauli's contradictory way of responding to the challenges that were presented to him. On the one hand, he seems excited sometimes, and on the other hand, he puts down the efforts. Oh, that's basically what we did. And that was on the heels of the Esslingen dream, remember that, which meant that he felt that this work would be isolating, and namely taking him to a very unappealing, untrendy place, to use our language today, very, very untrendy place, in working with this dark anima. And the other dream then was the Chinese woman asking him to lecture, and that showed that the challenge to deal with this woman was his issue, not Jung's issue, as he tried to make the first at the previous dream. So that took us up to page 117. And the other thing, too, I thought, which was really important, that sowed the seeds, I think, for the beginning of the friction between Jung and Pauli, was that Pauli did not like the idea of interpreting his scientific dreams psychologically. And Jung was saying, well, they're both psychological and personal. They're both scientific and personal. Just like my dreams are both mythological and personal. And for some reason, that offended Pauli. We'll see today, I think, why that was offensive. So, 117. The first paragraph there after the quotes, the broadening of physics. Isn't quite accurate, I don't think. The third depending on how you count. The third or second line up from the bottom of that paragraph, neither Jung nor Marie-Louise von Franz would understand much of such a broader physics. Given their lack of mathematical scientific training, they had little inclination to follow Pauli in this direction. I don't think that's true. I think von Franz definitely did. She asked him, and remember, he refused. I can imagine a guy like Pauli was one lousy teacher. That's probably a problem, too. Not having the patience to meet her where she was. So the relationship came to a standstill. And it was broken when she answers she answers his letter, and then he sends her two dreams. That's what we'll be taking up with. By the way, this first sentence on the last full paragraph, it's kind of, she answers Polly's brief, it should be letter. See where I am?
No.
The last full paragraph, Marie-Louise von Franz, blah, 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 she answers Polly's brief. Mm-hmm. That's German. It just slipped in. Brief is German for letter. She answers Polly's letter in the middle of August. The stagnation in the relationship is thus broken through, and that Polly sends von Franz two new dreams and asks for her therapeutic help. And 118, he says, I'm not sending you my scientific dreams. That is about a third of my dreams. But the really important stuff starts then with those dreams. By the way, that's dream 32, the Dark Woman's dream 32, and it was dreamt on July 24th, 1953. I was just trying to think how old she was. She was born in 1918, I believe. Does anyone remember the date? So 1953, she'd be 35? The dark woman wants to speak to me, but I say to her, I must dance and thus have no time. Already, big problem. While I dance, squares, apparently out of paper, are formed one after the other. A masculine voice says to me, what do you notice then as you dance? I answer that immediately, the severe form. And this answer is happily received. Now I come into a square room where there are two physicists whom I don't know, namely a father and a son, T.H.
Is it supposed to be don't know?
Oh, whom I know. Sorry, my mistake. That should be whom I know, namely a father and a son, T.H. They ask me to sign a document, and I do so gladly. The whole piece of paper becomes blue as though covered with spilled ink. The father, T.H., says then, it depends on the details. You will remember these more easily if the writing isn't all too clear. But under the blue color, the writing is still clearly visible. Well, the first thing to notice is he doesn't talk to the dark woman. Many of you can sit at the table if you... You're comfortable? Oh, okay. The next big point is that the dance yields paper. Head stuff. He says he's seen the severe form. Now, the author actually missed that. That's a reference to Faust, I'm pretty sure. And I brought along Jung's commentary on it. Pauli would, you know, and certainly Pauli, all these guys would have known Faust, like almost by memory. And so I'll read you how it appears in Faust, this phrase, and what Jung makes of it. To make a long story short, sort of offspring of Poseidon, mermaid-like figures, would be easy way to put it, simply. They say, bear we on the waters riding that which brings you all glad tiding. In Chelone's giant shield, I'm not sure how to pronounce it right, C-H-E-L-O-N-E, she's another one of these sea figures related to Poseidon. In Chelone's giant shield gleams a form severe revealed. That's the key reference. And it's the same word, string, here as it is in Pali's text. So I'm sure that that would be, the dream is a reference to this. These are gods that we are bringing. Hail them, you high anthems singing. Little in length, mighty in strength, time-honored gods of shipwreck and floods. Great Kabiri do we bear, that our feast be friendly fair, where their sacred powers preside, Neptune's rage is pacified. So what they're bringing on this shield is... are the dwarves. They're bringing dwarves. And that's the severe image. It doesn't really add anything. Well, and of course the dwarves are the creators. And they are typically show up in dreams when to symbolize creativity. So it doesn't really add a whole lot more, it just adds emphasis that what the dream is dealing with is Pali's creativity. And that it's limited, it's being limited to paper. See, paper, remember, is the light anima, and flesh and desire is the dark anima. But I think he's channeling that dance energy into paper. That's what's so frustrating about this dream. He should be dancing with her, but instead he's dancing paper. And as he says here, at that time I was very occupied with a mathematical work. Dancing here stands for, therefore, for mathematical thinking, including its unconscious archetypal background. In a Pythagorean way, mathematics follows tones as well as dance. See, that last statement is absolutely irrelevant. And remember the uncommitted archetypal thinking? Here it is. Now I find the next image very confusing. The two physicists. And what they say. I think it's more bad news that rather than deal with her, he's putting all his energy into his work. The real puzzler is that the document becomes blue as though covered with spilled ink. And the physicist says, It depends on the details. You will remember these more clearly if the writing isn't all too clear. Well, let's put a question mark there. We'll come back to this later. But that doesn't make sense, I don't think. Because, well, you would remember the details if the writing was clear. But I'm not sure about that. But this is how my mind works with stuff. I look at something and I say, well, it doesn't make sense, but let's see if in time it becomes clear. Because the details you can take two ways. The author doesn't discuss this. That's why I'm going into it. I would say generally the details are important. And the danger in our work is you get so caught up in dream images and these great mythological amplifications, you forget what the dream actually refers to. And so on one hand, you could say, well, details are very important, and are you avoiding them? Contradictorily, or in a contradictory way, I think you could also say that sometimes people get locked into details and they don't see the bigger pattern. That's also a danger. So I don't know which way to take it, but this is what I'm asking. Maybe we'll get more clear in a couple of pages because we'll come back to it, but I just wanted to acknowledge that's a difficult detail and the two different ways you could take it. In any case, the big problem there is the paper. Too busy, and the paper. Another difficult dream. Page 119. From radioactive uranium, a man manufactures another yellow substance that looks like bromine. Then the man disappears. Two women who are present, one of those a maternal type. Now that may be relevant to the previous dream, because we'll see blue can be a maternal color. Begins to scream from fear. That word angst is in the German, I just put that there. Angst can be translated either as anxiety or fear. But I translate it as fear. They say that the man who has disappeared is someone who died long ago, a spirit of the dead. So that would be Mercurius, right? The younger of those two adds she is afraid because he produces stripes. I contradict them both and say that was no dead person and that I see no stripes at all. Women are somewhat calmed, which of course is just flat out denial on his part. Now a man resembling Einstein comes and says that radioactivity is always a transitional stage and that the end product is always stable. That's a typo there, S-T-A-B-L-E, is always stable. Thus the experiment of that man is significant progress. Now a man resembling C.A. Meyer, Meyer is the first president of the Jung Institute, he was actually my supervisor, enters and has red, worn-out eyes and a zombie expression on his face. He says, I have read in the newspaper that Curtino, or a similar-sounding Italian fantasy name, has died. Remember that Pali had predicted the neutrino, which later was proved to be correct, a nuclear particle. He is implying that this is the man who was doing the chemical experiment. To that I say, don't read so much of the newspaper. Now I try to speak with Professor Jung, but I only meet the two women again who tell me that he is not available. Dream is complicated, I'll say. I'm not sure about this one either, but let's try it. A man succeeds in making bromine from radioactive uranium. Pallia said earlier that in his dreams, often synchronicity is meant by radioactivity. Now, I think we need to evaluate that for a second. What do you think about that? I think it's partly right and partly wrong. Right. So I think he's right in that I think the reason he says radioactivity is related to synchronicity is that radioactivity spreads out throughout the world from a material. The world is pervaded like a synchronicity is an externalization of an internal state. But synchronicity, just like a dream, can be destructive to the ego's point of view if the ego is way out of touch with the self. So I think it's more accurate to say it's synchronicity manifesting in a way that the ego experiences as destructive, or could even be destructive. And remember the Pauli effect. So what he misses in that statement is that the feeling dealing with synchronicity when you're so far out of touch that the manifestations of the unconscious are felt to be hostile. Does that make sense?
When you talk about ego death.
Right, when they're really working for ego death. And as we know, sadly, sometimes if they can't kill the ego, they'll kill you. Which is, I think, what's going on here. This is the beginning of the end.
What year did he die?
58, so he has 5 more years to live. And he was 58. Now, I like what the author says, and one of the reasons I picked apart that statement so carefully is that statement shows no emotion for what a real synchronicity is when it goes against your own wishes, but manifests the self wishes. Of course, what we're trying to do in our work is get to the point where we accept these crosses and not go into Dramaville every time your ego is crossed, that you learn there's another reality, and okay, here's another time where it's crossing my will, I'll give over to it.
What statement were you referring to just then?
The,
it doesn't show any feeling?
That synchronicity, radioactivity means synchronicity. It's one more of these statements that is true factually, but it doesn't contain the emotion that would go along with really understanding what that means. Now, that's exactly what the dream is about. Those women would represent the emotion around the perception of a synchronicity. And you see, he denies their reality. And the dream then puts that fact of synchronicity in the historical image, the stranger. And we've seen the stranger would represent the unity of matter and spirit, right? So the stranger would be an image of synchronicity accepted by consciousness. Mercurius would be his earlier form. Mercurius was granted existence in the pre-scientific world. Mercurius is no longer granted existence in the scientific model, in the narrow scientific model anyway. But that's what you're forced to deal with every time there's a synchronicity, is that there is this fact that matter is a symbol. So not only does the synchronicity challenge Pali's emotions, it challenges his scientific mindset. And that's the spirit of the dead that's coming back. The science killed him. Or didn't kill him, it killed the willingness to entertain that as a fact. And that you know, that fits with the way we've been interpreting the stripes. Remember, stripes are the oscillation between, you could say, sacred time and profane time. So the beginning of the dream, it is in a way positive in that it's showing a synchronistic transformation of something in Pali, which would probably be what the synchronistic presence of Van Frans in Pali's life was meant to do. That's how I would understand that. So it's really referring to his relationship to her. Their relationship was the chemical experiment, which is trying to occur, but you see how he's denying the emotions around it.
Here in the past, the stripes have been referring to the I Ching. Is that working to the screen?
Or sure, because the I Ching is based on the principle of synchronicity. Yeah.
I'm having trouble connecting the synchronicity with that that crosses our willful path. I've never, it is, I guess, often I've just never thought of it in that way.
Well, it's probably an experience you haven't had. You may not have had, you may have been receptive to synchronicities and thankful for them. But there are people who are so stubborn and on a path of power that any synchronistic experience is felt as a defeat.
Well, I've had those.
Uh-huh. Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah, I would say, yes. But and I, you know, and looking back, I can see that that would be, as we talked about, that's how Jung talked about of God, is that anything
right
crosses
your path. Right.
Yeah. You know, I've just never thought about using that word synchronicity for that. I guess that's what I'm puzzling. That as I've changed and grown and given up more of that ego control, I now can see all kinds of synchronicity
yeah.
that happened in my life.
Uh-huh.
I just never thought to call them.
Well, imagine somebody really addicted to ego control. But the synchronicity isn't experienced as a gift. It's experienced as a nuisance.
And a danger.
And a danger. And a threat. Right.
Okay. Certainly
what we're trying to do in our work is reach the point where we accept these things are as gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Very often they're experienced by very, you know, controlling people as a nuisance.
Something to control.
Or, yeah, deny, get rid of, yeah. stupid anyway,
okay.
Stupid Jungians always seeing miracles everywhere, you know, I've heard it all. The third paragraph then presents the stable point of view. So Einstein here would represent the healthy voice. So he has just said, oh, there's nothing going on. And then comes the stable point of view. Oh, yes, there is.
Wait a minute. So Einstein's voice is the voice of this true or
voice of wisdom here.
The voice of wisdom.
Yeah. That this experiment is leading to a positive outcome. And don't fight it. Now, I'm also puzzled how to interpret the fourth paragraph. The author says, and he may have gotten it right, that it's an image of panic, I think. That's what the worn out and zombied eyes are. So see, in contrast to Einstein, who's soberly evaluating it, the Meyer figure is histrionic. That's one way to take it. Or you could go that Meyer is upset because Certino has died, and Certino is the guy who was doing the experiment. I'm not sure which way to go.
Would that be maybe suggesting he's older?
Could be. I hadn't thought of that. I was thinking of it more, and these aren't contradictory either, more like the part of him that knew that this experiment wasn't taken seriously. The more I think about it, the more I'm inclined to go with that. Because the newspaper would be reality. She's his news. Mm-hmm. I think that must be it.
And that's why.
Right. Yeah. So I think the author may have missed that one a little bit. It's bad. The whole way through it's bad. Appaldi's saying that to Meyer.
Appaldi's saying that to Meyer. Because I was curious that Meyer was the one with this image of panic.
Right. That maybe Appaldi should panic at his misunderstanding. Or at least be upset.
I read that description more as grief. When I think of red, worn-out eyes and zombies, you think about people who've just worn themselves out.
That fits.
In grieving.
Yeah, that's probably more accurate. Yeah.
And then it's followed by a death.
Right.
And Paul just wants to ignore the whole thing.
Right.
Don't invite that into my life.
Right. 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 And I think, you know, he and Meyer were friends. And I think he kind of looked up to Meyer. So, in any case, the last bit is clear. He's not available. If you don't deal with your emotions, the psychological function isn't available to you. And with a guy like Pally, I'm sure he would take that. You see, Jung is not interested in me. And that would just further his distance from Jung.
I think when I first read this, I thought maybe the two women were on something in the cafe. Did they represent that at all? Maybe he doesn't talk about them?
No, because I think they wouldn't have been afraid of the synchronicity.
Do you think they are?
Oh, inner emotions, just emotions.
And two is for that tension that he's feeling.
Right. His own unconscious fear of what synchronicity is asking of him.
Yeah.
I think we kind of, that's what we did, page 120. Just one typo, which you probably saw on page 120. One, two, three, fourth paragraph. Second line should be Curtino, not Curtino. And then some sad news. This ending of the dream, last full paragraph, seems to be very meaningful. Pali has probably lost sight of the right approach to the unconscious for some time. Thus Jung is not reachable. Thus Jung, perhaps his anxiety personified by the feminine figures bars his way. Instead of cultivating Jungian dream interpretation, he affects a manner personified by the analyst with the red tired eyes and the zombie face. That's where I would disagree, I think. But, you know, I'm not being critical because this guy's done a lot of good work. I couldn't have gotten a tenth of this stuff. Now, are you ready for some more bullshit? Listen to this. In particular, I had a certain hope. You can help me fight on the subjective level against every obvious, overly questioning stupidity which has to do with the ineffectual nature of my intellectual attitude to psychology. The attitude should be that. That keeps me from assimilating my own experience. Last paragraph of 120. If in this connection you could produce even a fraction of the same liveliness which came to light in the flaring of your anger in the last months, that would be, for me, a considerable help. You see, I am modest. I believe one should thus draw strongly on alchemy. You see how pathetic that is.
Does he want her to have his emotions for him to some extent? Is that what he's doing? Is that
could
what
be.
He do,
I actually thought I saw that in the first couple paragraphs of the piano lesson. Talk about it later, but I do think he wants, and his frustration with her is that she's not reflecting back what he wants her to reflect back.
Right, right.
And it puts him
that regressive thing. Right. I just see him as an example of inflated hypocrisy. These people with these grand words, and you see what's behind it. The reason I asked how old she was, you know, she's still probably seducible by this kind of stuff. And I think she was seduced by his words. Thinking, well, the dream is negative, but he really wants, and so on. And not having learned from bitter experience, don't bother. They will not change. Because there will always be one more woman who falls for that. So he can just get pretty far with his words and the attention that they bring him. And remember, he's this grand hair professor who already is, you know, a hot item. And I say that too because I was actually disappointed by her comment. Your letter made me very happy, 121. I again have the feeling of a strong connection with you. Mm-hmm. Oh, brother.
She's smitten.
Yeah, she's smitten. Love is blind. And yeah, it should be strong, another typo.
yet if she, I think if she ended it here, she wouldn't have gotten to the numbers part, right? I mean, there's still work for them to do.
I guess, you know, and there I think she paid a terrible price for this relationship. And, you know, that's who she was, I think. I mean, the beauty of her was that she was devoted to the future, really. You know, she, I think she must have felt that this work was terribly important and that she was doing this not just for herself, but for future generations of children. And this was her form of motherhood. You know, she didn't have kids. So here she's mothering the future. But she got nothing out of it.
She became a hell of an animal.
Well, yes, that was certainly, I guess you could say, recompense, but it's awfully lonely.
Was she an analyst at this point?
I think she probably would have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. More BS. To my two dreams. See where I am? 121. They have a certain connection with each other, namely the dancing and the stripes. These are a visual expression of the same archetype which, from the unconscious, produces the idea of the transmigration of souls, compared with the dream of the spirit of the dead. Well, that's not so clear. I think what he means is that he knows intellectually he's dealing with this death and rebirth issue as a cycle within life, and that each synchronicity is a sort of death of a previous ego position. He knows that intellectually. And he knows intellectually that that's what these dreams are about. And he then just brings in other traditions' portrayal of that idea, one of them being the transmigration of the soul, meaning that we go through various deaths and rebirths on the route to nirvana, like he's going to, or we are to go through various deaths and rebirths through life.
Did you say deaths of previous attitudes? Is that how you put it?
Yeah. Each synchronicity is somehow a loss of a previous understanding, probably. Either it reorients you, or if it's supporting your attitude, it's an attitude you had in despair, thinking this will never, I'll never be able to do this. I don't see any way to do this. And then a little miracle comes along and you do have a way to do it. So this is just talk, but I'm explaining it if you're interested in the connections. It is certainly dismissed by us Westerners with our rational consciousness. That wasn't true, however, for Pythagoras and the Pythagoreans, for whom the idea of the transmigration of souls was an important part of doctrine. Pythagoras, you know, it's the Pythagoras you learned about in ninth grade, and he was actually, his followers had a religious cult around him, and one of their main tenets was that there was... You evolved over lifetimes.
Is that what transmigration is?
I believe so, yes. That your soul develops through lifetimes.
Many lifetimes.
So there's an analogy between many lifetimes and then the synchronicity, which is many events within a lifetime, as opposed to the medieval Christian idea that there's one death and rebirth at the end of time. So you could say really the cyclical nature of time versus the linear idea of time. From the point of view of the history of ideas, one finds the same connection there between the transmigration belief on the one hand and number symbolism and number mysticism and number symbolism detractus on the other, as in my dreams. All he's saying there is that he thinks there's some link in the fact that the Pythagoreans were interested in geometry and transmigration. detractus is the name for one of their number systems, putting it very simply. I don't think we need to go into it. But again, it's just blah, blah, blah. But what you do see, interestingly, how what he does when he interprets, he takes his imagery and he shows where it fits into the history of culture and not how it applies to him. That's what he does. And Jung does that too, but only as step one. Step two is now, what does it mean for you? And where do you fit into cultural history and the history of your time? So the author says how number symbolism and reincarnation are linked. How he doesn't explain, I think he missed that point. That's a historical link. He does say then what I said, that medieval Christendom and Nicene Creed talk about resurrection as a single event. This next bit isn't so interesting, but I'll go through it anyway. Pali's anxiety over the stripes is for that to be understood as a fear to be committed to the earth and to mature his soul through the cycle of death and rebirth. He connects this anxiety with a traumatic experience from his early youth, thus he writes, "The anxiety and fear in the second dream naturally remind me of my wasp phobia." He was terrified of wasps. Probably was, in fact. And you can see why. He made stinging remarks all the time. And here I think you see no insight into that fact. "The stripes have for me detached from these insects." I don't see these insects have anything to do with the stripe business. It's just, this is just him. "Indeed, under the influence of Professor Jung at that time, and have become an independent symbol of the unconscious. The anxiety indicates a certain danger of a psychosis in my case, and that is for sure." And I forgot to include the next part of the sentence, which I will read you. "The anxiety indicates a certain danger of a psychosis in my case." "In my case, the deceased is seen in the glorified state not only at the end of time, but also after and even before death." All he's saying there is that how he feels his dreams are cyclical. It's not that important. "Visually, inner swings are dampened down and turned into rotation." True, but not for him. "Centering also takes place where quaternary symbols appear." Absolutely irrelevant. So there's two things going on. His kind of dancing around this oscillation theme, and then his bringing in the wasps, which I don't see as has any relationship to that.
How come?
I just see his wasps as his nasty tongue.
I was thinking it's as fearful of the stripes as he is of the wasps. Right? I mean, isn't it more his spirit that's the connecting element?
Well, I see what you mean, yes. Is there a relationship between what's the relationship between his fear of the stripes and his fear of the wasp? That's where I don't follow.
The only connection they make is the fact that they have the striping pattern.
Wasps, they have stripes? They do?
Mm-hmm. But didn't
yellow jackets do, but the wasps don't. They're just black.
Well, the wasp covers a whole host of insects.
Oh, well, I was taking wasp as wasp.
No, doesn't he talk about the stripes of the wasp?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do have stripes.
Oh, they do?
There's so many different kinds of wasps. I mean, they're like hundreds.
Well, that's different then.
And the other thing, too, that he tried to work out what his fear of WASPA was young and never could understand it, right?
What I understood Holly to say was that he was linking up stripes and wasps, right? Which is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, he says the stripes for me detached from these insects.
So I guess then, and I was thinking that's bogus because these insects don't have stripes. But you're saying they do have stripes.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to correct my thinking then. So if we go with that, let's say that the wasps do have stripes, and there's some connection between the wasp and the stripe, what would that be? It could be that just the
you don't know when it's going to bite you.
You don't know when it's going to bite you, and that he feels these synchronistic experiences as stinging him. Yeah, that must be what it is. He wants to avoid that. That's the feeling that they are hostile to you. Right. Okay. Well, that's good. Good work. Yeah. And I guess he and Jung then must have discussed that he felt synchronicity to be as fearful as a wasp sting.
And what we do, if we see a wasp, we run from it.
Right, we run from it, right.
Because when they sting, they don't let go. They pretty much have to pull them off.
Yeah, they're nasty. And a whole swarm of them can do real damage. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I haven't seen that. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we're all like, we don't say, hello,
no.
Mr. Watts, come on in, but I do notice that people who are terrified of stinging insects tend to get stung by them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you stay calm, they must smell it. They'll just fly away. Watch me get stung tomorrow. Okay, yeah, good. All right, so I need to reevaluate what I said there. All that's doing is just adding another image to his fear of the stripes. Nothing really new there. Oh, I completely... Wait, did I mess that up? Well, no, I do need to correct one thing I said. If you're interested, I told you the wrong translation. If you're interested, implicit in this is that death is not... See where that is? 1, 2, 3. Go up one paragraph... Fourth paragraph from the bottom, the last sentence, it has 5 question marks. That should read, implicit in this is, and then cross out, death is not. Implicit in this is that, and then should come, the deceased is seen in the glorified state.
In the glorified state.
In the glorified state. Not only at the end of time, but also after and even before death. That's what I told you for the latter one. That was wrong.
What was the last bit?
You happy with that? You get that
not
down?
Not at the end of time, but...
I'll repeat it. Implicit in this is that, and then the deceased is seen in the glorified state, not only at the end of time, but also after and even before death. just saying what I said before, that these cycles occur in time. Now, the reason I didn't translate these, I'm not sure about these. If I would publish this, I'll have to get somebody to help me with that. They were difficult sentences for me. But what I read you in the paragraph starting with the anxiety and the fear, where it has those question marks, should say the following. The anxiety indicates a certain danger of a psychosis in my case. And then, colon, and then I think this is right. To the extent, I'll read it and then I'll repeat it slowly if you want to write it down. To the extent that the anxiety caused by the infinite power of the stripe symbols decreased, so the danger appeared to decrease significantly. It's one of the sentences that didn't make sense even when I translated it, but I might be missing something. So if you're interested, it should say where the question marks are. To the extent that the anxiety caused by the independent power of the stripe symbols decreased, so the danger appeared to decrease significantly. Doesn't make sense.
Stripe symbols increased?
Decreased.
Decreased.
So the danger appeared to decrease significantly. I think what he means there is that as he became less fearful of this stuff, he wasn't afraid of the objective situation. But that's his torturous prose, believe me, it's murder to translate. should we have a stretch and then we'll pursue the next